This morning, if you have your Bibles, it's on the screen as well, Matthew 18. And I told Brian this morning when we were talking about winding down our series with the parables, I chose this parable, and I must have been thinking that he was preaching. Because after I got to looking at it, I said, you know, this is... my mind was somewhere else that day. But, you know, folks, the thing that I want us to stop and think about this morning as we look at this parable of the unforgiving debtor or the unforgiving servant, you know, really and truly, each Sunday, and I think Brian would tell you the same thing, each Sunday when I come to preach to y'all, I am actually preaching to myself, because if I couldn't preach to myself, I couldn't preach to y'all, because it is everything that I tell y'all is me. It's me. It has affected me in some kind of way, and it still does. We don't live a perfect life. We don't have the opportunity to be perfect in the world that we live in. But we do have the opportunity to be forgiven, and we are forgiven through the grace that God shows us and gives us. And so this morning, as we take a look at the parable of the unforgiving debtor, it's a real good parable that I really enjoy, and I really enjoy listening to y'all tell me about it. But if you would, let's take a look at that, and Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Now, stop right there just a minute, folks. Seven times in their tradition that they were in, it was actually three times that they were asked to forgive someone. So they're used to somebody being forgiven like three times, and at the end of three times that we're going to move on. So actually Peter's thinking that he's doing really, really good by saying seven times. No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before the master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word and we hear about how this guy, when he owed the king so much money that he couldn't pay it, and the king says, "Okay, I'm going to sell you, your wife, your children, and everything you have to get what I can get of my money back." And he pleaded, and he pleaded so with the king that the king said, "Okay, well, I'm fixing to let you go. I'm not going to have you put in jail. I'm not going to sell you. I'm not going to sell your family. It kind of reminds me the way we do now. I never have figured out who come up with this, but they didn't call and ask me. But they said, you know, the law is now, if you don't pay your child support, which child support needs to be paid 100% of the time, all the time, but we're going to take your driver's license. I mean, really? You can't go to work then? How in the world are you ever going to pay your child support? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard that we've ever done. But anyway, that is the law. So you can't go to work. You'll get picked up and put in jail, and you can't pay anything at that point. So that's kind of where we're at. Many of our laws today represent the things that we see was happening back in those days. And so we see that this guy, and Peter, as he was talking to Jesus, he said, Jesus, how many times have I got to forgive this guy? Forgive my brother. He was referring to three times, which you will find in the book of Amos, probably where he was getting that from the first and second chapters. If you'll look in the book of Amos 1 and 2, you'll kind of see that they referred to the three-time forgiveness back then. And Jesus says, no, you don't be forgiving him three times or seven times. So Peter is actually saying, Lord, I'm gonna say I'll forgive him seven times, but, you know, that's a lot. And Jesus said, oh, no, it's not a lot. You're coming with 70 times seven, meaning it doesn't matter. You don't keep up with how many times. You're just happy to be able to forgive because I have forgiven you. You know, as we read in the pouring of the water and the call to worship, we read that you have this opportunity to show others love, mercy. But if you don't show others love and mercy, what love and mercy is going to be shown to you? How would you expect someone to show you love and mercy if you're not going to show someone else? And that day, it's told us in James 2, that day, then how would we expect when we stand before God to be shown any mercy? But God's grace is wonderful. And that grace allows us to be forgiven. But folks, it does not allow us to be forgiven and us hold this grudge that we have against other people. We hold this unforgiveness in our heart. I don't know about y'all, but I used to be really, really bad about this. It's only been in the last few years that I have come to know and understand that not forgiving someone is hurting me. It's not hurting them. It's hurting me. I'm the one suffering from this not being able to forgive. You take it to bed with you at night. You think about it when you get up for morning. You think about it all the time. And I'll be the first to tell you today that you may be needing to forgive someone, and it may be hard for you to forget it, but you can forgive them. You can erase that you're not going to think about that anymore. But who in the world has not had these times in our life when we felt that we could not forgive this person of what they've done to us? I think Jesus used this parable and was talking about the money for a reason. Because what is it that we hold the dearest to us? Money. Everybody loves money. There's not a soul in here that doesn't love money. I love it. I love to spend it. Buy me another treasure, you know. And Tammy said we need to sell a bunch of treasures. But that's what I like to do is to get rid of these treasures. I mean, buy these treasures and hang on to them. What good are they going to do? Nobody, nothing. But I just like them. There's just things that you like to have. Me and Melanie was having this conversation early this morning about these treasures that we love to have. And it's just boy toys. But it requires money, folks. And money is what some people love to have. And they do not want to get rid of it. They want it in a bank account. They want it in a safe in their house. They want it somewhere where they can look at it and play with it and know what they have. And that's where our treasure really lies in our heart so many times. That's where our love lies so many times, is in your pocketbook. I've always said, you pick up a man's checkbook, or you look at his pocketbook where he's spending his money, and you'll know where his heart is. You'll know what he loves. You'll know what it is that he cherishes and what he puts first. You'll see it. If you look at mine and Jimmy's, if we had a chance, it'd probably be spending it on an old Harley or something. You know, we love it, but we don't love it more than God. But we love the things that you play with, things that are in this world that we have that opportunity to play with. This man could not pay back what he owed. And he went to the king, and he said, look, king, I can't pay it back. I don't want you to sell me, my family. I don't want this to happen to me. Please have mercy on me. You ever done God that way? And turned right around after that and done something really, really bad against God? Sure we have. Each one of us. It's hard, folks, to live in this world and not have a time when forgiveness was something that I thought I could not do. I cannot forgive and get over this. It is driving me crazy, but I'm not going to be able to give it up. I'm not going to be able to give in to what has happened to me and to tell him I'm going to forgive him. You know, one time, me and Tammy, we bought an old trailer court. And that right there tells you enough. We was crazy that day. And because that wasn't nothing to play with, Dan. That was totally a bunch of work. But we bought an old trailer court. And in this trailer court, it was a web of lies and a web of things that had been done with the property and the people there and the things going on there. And so we entered into, after we had bought the property, we entered into a gentleman's agreement, a handshake, back when our grandparents were living and Kenneth's dad and mom were living. That's what we done. We shook on things, didn't we, Kenneth? And we lived into it. But we entered into a gentleman's agreement with this. And at the end, when me and Tammy sold this property, the man that had the gentleman's agreement had been made with, it amounted to thousands of dollars. And he said, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. You like it? You can do whatever you want to do. But it's just what it is, what it is. And folks, that day was probably the biggest day of my life. I had to make a choice of what I was going to do. And God knows my heart. He knew how I lived then. He knew what I was and who I am today. But at that given moment, I was just like this man in this parable. I walked over to this guy, and he was right there, and I walked there for one reason, and I thought about Tammy, and I thought about Ross, and I thought about Sis, and I thought about how I would spend the rest of my life. In that instant right there, I turned around and I walked off. He's right. I didn't have a choice other than a choice that would cost me the rest of my life. It was a change in my life that I'll never forget, because I come that close to spending the rest of my life in edible. I was so close, folks, that it scared me after I left, because I couldn't think straight. And when I got out of that building, I thought how close I came to never being with my family again. How close I came, folks, to God not ever being able to use me like He has. How close I came to things being entirely different with me. And I had to forgive this guy. I had to forgive him. I had thought in my mind that if I ever saw him again, I don't know what I was going to do. Well, one day me and Tammy were standing in line at to get checked out, and Tammy said, "I believe that's probably your friend up there and getting checked out." And I looked. I said, "It is." And again, I had to make a decision of whether to stand still or whether to take that situation in my own hands. Father, when you're talking about thousands of dollars, it makes your mind run different than it does if you're talking about $5. It makes you have different thoughts. And this king Jesus was talking about, he had been so good to this man. And then as soon as he was turned loose, he went straight to the man that owed him the money, and he was going to choke him to death until he paid him. He throwed him in prison, and when the people around him saw what had happened, he went back to tell the king what had happened. You know, it makes me stop and it makes me think about Jesus. You know, Jesus in, I think that's Luke 7, 44 through 50, he's talking about a lady. And he goes to this guy's house. And he doesn't offer Jesus any water to wash his feet. He doesn't offer Jesus anything. He lets Jesus in, but it's the lady that was at the house that came, and she cried, and her tears dropped on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet, and she was so good to Jesus. She kissed his feet all the time he was there, and she was so happy to see Jesus. And Jesus told that guy, he said, "You know what, dude? Look at here. This lady right here, she's full of sin. She has lots of sin. She's got a lot going on in her life. But her sins are forgiven. Her sins will be forgiven." You see, Jesus knew this lady. He knew what she was. He knew how things were going to be. But he also knew that she desired forgiveness. And as she desired this forgiveness, he offered it to her. Folks, this is the wonderful thing about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He offers us forgiveness. He offered me forgiveness for what I had thought toward this man. He offered me forgiveness. It's up to me whether I was going to receive that forgiveness, whether I'm going to walk off from it, whether I'm going to let it slide, whether I'm not going to be thinking about it every day. Believe it or not, I very seldom think about that now. Because Jesus, God Himself, has been so good to us. I never knew that even happened. I never needed a bit of that. So we see that Jesus desires for us to forgive just as He has forgiven us. You know, there's Matthew 9, maybe 2, starting about the second verse. Matthew 9, 2 through 6 or 8, something like that. You find that parable about the man that they cut a hole in the roof. The guys brought him to Jesus. And they brought him on a mat, you remember that? In a basket, probably. And he cut a hole in the roof, and he dropped him down into Jesus' arms. Folks, stop right there. Now, the people that were there, they didn't like it because Jesus is fixing to do what he did. They were all unhappy about it. They didn't want to forgive Jesus. They didn't want to forgive anybody. They were just tore down because Jesus was going to do what he done. But I want you to, we're not reading this, we're just talking about it because y'all know the story as well as I do. But if you think about it, he dropped him down. These guys dropped him down to Jesus. And when he dropped him down to Jesus, there he was. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Really? They said, really? Why didn't you say just get up and walk if you go heal him? Why didn't you just tell him to get up and go on about his business? But Jesus first said, your sins are forgiven. And folks, today, we're going to hold right there just a minute. Today we come to this communion table. And his main desire for us is for our sins to be forgiven. He wants to heal your heart first. Because see, he fixed this man's heart. He fixed his sin problem. He healed him spiritually. And then what did he do? Then he told him to take up his mat and walk. You see, we get ahead of everything. So many times we, as Christians and people, we want to be able to be healed of our whatever it is that's bothering us, our heart trouble or our old bad knee or back or leg or whatever. But Jesus took that man and he healed him inside out. And then he allowed him to walk. That's his desire for each one of us, folks. You have to be healed inside out. Don't we, Randall? Got to be healed inside out. Me and Randall know that more than anybody in this whole building, probably. You got to be. And then you can pick up and walk. Then you can go to work for the Lord. Folks, this morning as we look at this unforgiving servant, there are so many of us that walk around today with so much on our mind about how people mistreat us and how people done this, how people done that. And we just won't turn it loose. We can't. It's not in our DNA to turn it loose. It's sure not in mine. But my first DNA comes from Jesus Christ. And when I reach back in my back pocket and I get that little slip of paper that would say you originated from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then I have no choice but to turn loose of all the things that has helped me back so many years. Occasionally you will think about it, but occasionally all you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have forgiven me for, that I might be able to forgive you. Folks, today, I'm going to ask Brian to come to the table. Today, as we come to the table, I want us to stop and to think about ourselves. Where are we in this parable? Where are we in this parable? That can we turn it loose? Can we forgive everyone that has forgiven us, that God has forgiven us? Can we forgive you us accordingly, the same? If not, I pray today that you will think about it. You will make your heart closer and become closer to Jesus Christ. That you will be able to have this relationship that he desires for us to have, a relationship that is close to him, that is with him every day, every moment. And you know, I was telling you when I was standing there as close to that candle to that guy, deciding on what my life was going to be like and what his was going to be like, I can look back today and I can see that God was working with me at that given moment. Because if I hadn't been listening to a still small voice, I would have done something that was stupid. But I listened. And in listening, I was offered forgiveness. Folks, so much in this world makes no difference whatsoever. None of it, really. None of it. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with the disciples. And if you stop and think about it, folks, he was sitting there with the disciples just like me and Brian are, and we could have been sitting here with Jesus, and he's probably knowing and thinking, here's Peter, here's Judas. Peter, you're fixing to deny me. You're going to deny me big time. Judas, look what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to take the sack of silver that they're going to give you and sell me. But what did he do? He reaches and he gets the bread. And he broke the bread. And as he broke the bread, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. And likewise, he reaches and gets the cup after supper. And he passes the cup around, the common cup. And they all drink out of the same cup. Due to COVID, we can't even think about doing anything like that. But he passes it around and he says, this is my blood, which is shed for you. This is the new covenant between God and his people. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Brian, say the prayer. Yeah, let's say the Lord's Prayer first. If you would, join us in the prayer of confession, and then we'll have the Lord's Prayer right after, folks. Father, we come, we thank you so, so much for your Son, Jesus, for coming and loving us and showing us, Lord Jesus, how to live, to leaving us with these parables and these stories of the many things that you knew we would be just like these people. So you left us how to live. We thank you. We praise you so much, Lord Jesus. We ask you forgive each one of us of our sins. We ask that you continue to strengthen us to be stronger in our relationship with you each and every day. And Father, we know there's many, and you know how I struggle with it, Lord. There's many that struggle with forgiveness. And I pray today, Father, that you touch their heart. Heal them from the inside out. That they may walk in peace and walk to be your disciple. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord Jesus, as you taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you have your bread and your wine. Brian, the body of Christ broken for you.
Let's partake together, church.
You, brother. You know, as we come to the table and we celebrate the body and the blood of Christ, isn't it the most wonderful thing in the world that we can come and God allows us through his Son Jesus to have this opportunity. To me, it's most wonderful and amazing that he knew this is what we needed. He knew we needed to be in communion with him. Most wonderful thing. I cannot imagine not being able to be and feel this closeness with God. at the end of each month as we do it. It is very special to me on a Sunday like this, folks. And I hope it is you. I hope you enjoy it as well as I do. And Father, we thank you so much for that opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen. If our